As we get ready for Barack, the first summer, which we love here in Borloo, some of us are looking forward to kicking back with long-held traditions like family Christmas, lazy beach runs, and playing cricket in the backyard. For those who like cricket and the beauty of nature, there's a new novel to whet your appetite for summer. Willow Man is a love letter to the art and beauty of cricket, and a meditation on the inner lives of certain kinds of men and women for whom it's a way of life. RTRFM's Danae Gibson caught up with award-winning author Inga Simpson earlier.
If you've ever had the good fortune to play with a brand new cricket bat, you'll understand why I was excited to read the new book by Inga Simpson. It's a novel about a bat maker and a gifted young cricketer, set around the time the game began changing into its current form of global franchises. When I collected a hard copy of Willow Man, I opened the packaging, spun it in my hands, almost sniffed for linseed oil. I've been reading and listening to the beautiful writing of Inga Simpson, who joins me now. Good morning, Inga.
Good morning, Danae. Thanks for having me on the show.
My great pleasure. Thank you for Willow Man. It feels like a gift to this old cricketer. I know you possibly can't avoid writing, but who did you write this for?
Well, that's a big question. Yeah, I absolutely wrote it for people who love cricket and haven't had many novels, you know, really about cricket published in Australia. So absolutely for them. But I also wanted to, I guess, keep my existing readership who are used to me writing about trees and birds and the natural world. And I guess convince everyone, really, how great, you know, why cricket is, a test cricket in particular, is a great game and kind of a literary companion. I think the test cricket is like, you know, a good novel. Sitting down to watch a test match, you know, particularly two evenly matched teams or that old rivalry between England and Australia, to sit down and watch a test match is like sitting down with a good book. You know, you just don't quite know what's in store, but you know you'll be entertained.
Willow Man has lots of technical language because you're talking about making cricket bats, but it is much more than that. If you love nature, music, love, this will delight you. You must have really enjoyed the project.
I did, though there was a lot of labour in it. I loved the research. I could have kept researching and reading cricket books forever, but yeah, had to eventually bring it out into the world. The technical aspects probably took me the longest. I'm not sure I could say I enjoyed that part, really honing the cricket match scenes, you know, down to just moments or, you know, the key part of the story to move it along. But yeah, as you say, it's so technical, the bat making. And really, you know, any of those scenes set on the cricket field, there are technical terms and, you know, particular shots and particular types of bowling. So it took a lot of research and a lot of refining to have that sort of smooth and hopefully accessible to the general reader.
I've loved cricket since I was very young, and I remember trying to write a story when I was, I don't know, about 11 or 12. I opted for a soccer game because it was easier. It was easier to get it done in a number of short scenes. So thank you again. Let's talk about the lack of cricket novels. Why is it so?
Well, there are some, and, you know, certainly a book like Jasper Jones, which was huge, has a beautiful cricket scene in it that, you know, I've never forgotten. Mm-hmm. A lot of reasons, I mean, as I'm alluding to there, it's really hard, I think, to compress a test match, you know, let alone numerous games in a player's career, to sort of compress that into the novel form. You know, I could have written a book three times as long. It was hard work to make the test matches, the gameplay, interesting to the reader and sort of compelling. So, yeah, that took a lot of research and refinement, and then checking with a number of, you know, former players and current commentators, you know, that sort of thing, to make sure I've got it right. I think there's also a bit of a cultural cringe, you know, between the literary world and the sporting world.
Mm.
And I know that when I started talking about Willow Man, you know, that I was writing a book that's about cricket and, you know, as you've alluded to, it's about more than that. But, you know, your one-sentence pitch to people is, oh, yeah, I'm writing a cricket novel. there were a couple of dinner parties where I was sort of howled down, you know. Mm. There was consternation, you know, what the heck? What are you writing a book about cricket for? Oh, God, you know. And I think, yeah, there's sort of a subset of people where who love cricket as well as literature. And, you know, I'm in that subset. And, you know, I know I'm not alone. But maybe cricket's a bit misunderstood too. You know, if you don't watch the game, if you don't follow it, if you don't know all of the stories of the players' sort of trajectories to get where they've got to, how hard they've worked, you might just catch what's in the mainstream press, which is some bad behaviour from a couple of outliers. You know, a couple of scandalous stories, or I think everyone suddenly took an interest in cricket when the Australians got caught cheating in mm-hmm. South Africa, you know, Sandpaper Gate. So the wrong things catch people's attention. I think it's a game that's beauty, you know, contains a great deal of beauty. So, and grace and tradition, which I was honing in on in the book. Yeah, I mean, that was part of the question I was asking myself in trying to write the book. Why hasn't anyone done this? And I have a few of the answers, but yeah, perhaps not all of them. Mm-hmm. Perhaps there's a, maybe from publishers too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this idea that, oh, a sporting novel doesn't sell in Australia. I definitely heard that when I started talking about it. And I just had to trust that, yeah, I could write it in a way, in my own way, that would be telling a story that, you know, hasn't been told quite like this before.
While you were researching how to make a cricket bat and honing your skills, the women's game has blossomed in that time, hasn't it? How did that affect your writing?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons that I set the book at the time frame I did, sort of roughly 2006 to 2009, when the T20 format was really taking off, because, one, there was talk initially that it would be the end of traditional bat making, and that didn't turn out to be true.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, I thought that would put some tension in the story for the bat maker, you know, what's going to happen to his craft. But, the sort of almost unintended consequence of T20 was the rise or the return of women's cricket. So I was certainly interested in that and the disparity between men and women players, sort of the lack of trajectory and opportunity, you know, career trajectory and opportunity for women players. So I was always interested in that, but I couldn't have anticipated how long it would take me to write. But that had benefits because, yes, the women's game has been transformed in that time. And, you know, so much has happened. You know, I started writing shortly after Philip Hughes died, but, you know, there's been a whole lot of drama on and off the field since then, and I was able to capture some of that, I think, and kind of compress it, you know, down into a 3-year kind of period, which, yeah, kind of suited my purpose. But still, the women's game was something I wanted to showcase and draw attention to. So Liz Todd Harrow, my sort of gifted player,
mm-hmm.
He has an equally talented sister, and she really, I did an event here in Melbourne last night, and was talking to Kate Mildenhall there about her. She almost wrote herself. She became easily the easiest character to write in the novel, and as soon as she was in the room, you know, there was kind of a fire to the book. So I won't say much more than that, but
no.
Yeah, she certainly plays a key role.
No, I don't want to say anything more than that either. I was explaining to someone what I was reading, and I said, what I really want to do now, because I'm immersed in cricket in lots of different ways, is I actually want to find a grove of willow trees and And I realised I've never seen a tree. Mm. That beautiful connection of the living creature that is a willow tree and how it becomes a cricket bat really helps us. I think it helps the reader to look at a cricket bat beyond looking at 15 of them in Steve Smith's, you know, kit bag into something that is alive in a way.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, my way into most stories is trees, and so Willow Man's no different. It started with, you know, reading about the kind of magical qualities of white willow and this idea that one kind of subspecies of white willow is, yeah, the only type of timber that all elite cricket bats in the world are made from. And it starts its life as a softwood, yet compressed under the, you know, bat maker's equipment, you know, and part of the shaping process, it becomes a hardwood. You know, that face is compressed and hardened so that it can hit a cricket ball, and yet it retains that lightness that allows players to wield it easily, you know, and hopefully bat through the day, bat through the innings. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they're beautiful trees. I've seen them. There are a couple of groves in Victoria, and I've seen them. I was sort of shocked. You know, when you think of a willow tree, you think of a weeping tree over a river. Well, they're not like that. They're quite upright and have this very beautiful, you know, there's a, their crown is very beautiful, has kind of a bluish tinge, and when they're grown close together in a plantation, you know, there's a kind of a canopy. So very much a forest feeling, a little otherworldly. So I was certainly captivated by that. And, yeah, in that way I thought, well, this is perhaps an aspect of the game that players haven't thought about, you know, that this, the bat in their hands is a thing of beauty and, as you suggest, a living thing, you know, a beautiful piece of timber that has particular qualities and, you know, in the hands of the right maker, yeah, really is a gift to their game and the greater game.
It's interesting. I've been listening to radio coverage of the T20 World Cup over the last few weeks, and I heard someone talking about a ground in England where there's a tree inside the boundary. Mm. And if the ball hits any part of the tree, it's four runs. And I love the way that you've talked about Australia and nature and cricket and community all being interwoven. It's a great art. Thank you for sharing that. I've been one of those people who has tried to convince others that arts and sports are not enemies in the 21st century.
Oh, not enemies at all. I mean, I think one of the things I'm trying to show with Willow Man is that, you know, the bat maker is a classical musician as well. He plays the oboe, and he certainly sees, you know, making a cricket bat as an art and on the same level as his kind of musical life, his musical practice, and cricket as an art too. I read a beautiful book, Beyond the Boundary by C.L.R. James, which certainly makes the argument that cricket is an art and theatre and, you know, and beauty and part of history too. I mean, often sporting history is separated out from the rest of history, but it's certainly part of our culture, our daily life. And, you know, looking back, it says a lot about where we've been.
That was Australian author Inga Simpson with Danae Gibson. Willow Man is published by Hatchet.